Hello, radio friends. You are welcome to today's broadcast. I am glad you are a regular listener. What may be lacking is the doing. I therefore encourage you to be both a hearer and a doer of the word. Our topic today is the preciousness of prayer. The preciousness of prayer. We'll be taking our reading from Mark, the Gospel according to Mark chapter 1. Verse 34 and verse 35. Mark chapter 1, verse 34 and verse 35. And I read from New King James Version. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place. And there he prayed. The preciousness of prayer. When we say that something is precious, we mean that it is of great value. It is something that should not be wasted or treated carelessly. So the preciousness of prayer implies that prayer is of great value and therefore should not be wasted or treated carelessly. But someone may wonder how prayer could be wasted. James, writing in James chapter 4 verse 3, says, asking amiss is wasting prayer. The book of James talks of asking amiss, and asking amiss is wasting prayer. You ask and you do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. That's James chapter 4 verse 3. When we pray in such a way that God does not hear us or pay attention to our prayer, we are wasting prayer. We are treating prayer carelessly. In Psalm chapter 66 verse 18, the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. We shall examine the preciousness of prayer from two angles, two dimensions or perspectives. Number one, we'll be looking at the vertical or divine perspective. The vertical or divine perspective of prayer. And secondly, we'll be looking at the horizontal or human perspective of prayer. The human or horizontal perspective of prayer. So let's take the first one. The preciousness of prayer from divine perspective. A demonstration of dependence on God. A demonstration of dependence on God. We think that God made provision for prayer so we would meet our needs. Is it possible that God allows us to have needs so we would pray? God designed us to have a relationship of dependence with Him, which is the only sensible and viable relationship between a creature and a creator. Every creature must of necessity depend on its creator in order to fill the function for which it is created. Example, a car and its maker or owner. A house or its builder. Nothing expresses our dependence on God better than prayer. Show me a Christian who does not take prayer seriously, and I will show you a Christian who is not depending on God. When Jesus came into the world, though not created, but because he assumed the form of a human being, his relationship with the Father was that of dependence. He expressed this act in John chapter 5 verse 19 and verse 30. John chapter 5 verse 19 and verse 30. Let me read. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. Verse 30 says, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. It should not surprise us, then, that Jesus prayed like no man ever prayed for. He depended on the Father like no man ever did. When Jehoshaphat prayed in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12, 2 Chronicles 20 verse 12, the prayer of Jehoshaphat, he said, O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. He was expressing the dependence of the nation of Judah on God. Secondly, prayer is a delight to God. Prayer delights God. Prayer is precious because it delights the heart of God. In Proverbs chapter 15 verse 8, we read, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight." The delight of God in prayer is also seen in what Jesus told Ananias in Acts chapter 9 verse 11, when he sent him to Saul of Tarsus, whom he had just transformed on the road to Damascus. We read in that passage, "Arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying." That in which God delighted is precious in his sight. Here, Jesus noted that Saul of Tarsus was praying. You cannot fault that. Do our Lord Jesus Christ take note of your prayer? Number two, the preciousness of prayer from the human perspective. It is the believer's lifeline to God. Prayer is the believer's lifeline to God. From the human standpoint, prayer is precious because it is the believer's lifeline, the believer's umbilical cord, as it were. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air, his watchword at the gates of death. He enters heaven with prayer. If we do not pray, we die gradually or spiritual suffocation. Prayer is a way the believer tells God that his relationship with him is important. As Rabbi Katzhoff puts it, "My relationship to this master is monitored by my prayers, because that's how I interact with him, directly and immediately. It is how I speak to him. It is how I hear him. It is how I develop an emotional relationship with him." The third thing we need to know about prayer is that it is the believer's spiritual weapon against the devil and his agents. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 and verse 18, the Bible says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." Verse 18 says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." As was the case with all the battles Jesus fought with the devil and won, the last battle he fought with him was won on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane. He shared this secret with his disciples, Peter, James, and John, but they ignored it. No wonder they failed woefully. One writer says, "No one is a firmer believer in the power of prayer than the devil. Not that he practices it, but he suffers from it or from its effect." Let's now see, how should we pray? First and foremost, know what prayer is. Prayer is an expression of our relationship with God. Prayer can never be a formality. It is not dashing off a bunch of words in a prescribed sequence. It is speaking to God, to our Creator, to our Father, to the Almighty, from the innermost recesses of our being. Moses prayed that kind of prayer when God struck his elder sister Miriam with leprosy. Moses cried from the depths of his heart. He said, "Please heal her, O God, I pray." The hymn writer's definition of prayer in the song, "Prayer is the soul's sincere desire." Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Prayer is the burden of a sigh, the falling of a tear, the upward glancing of an eye, when none but God is near. Prayer is the simplest form of speech that infant lips can try. Prayer, the sublimest strength that reach the majesty on high. Prayer is the contrite sinner's voice returning from his ways, while angels in their songs rejoice and cry, "Behold, he prays." Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air, his watchword at the gates of death. He enters heaven with prayer. Secondly, pray like the master prayed. The master prayed in solitude, space and time. He prayed in solitude. The master prayed publicly and corporately. He prayed longer in secret than in public. Before he took important decisions, he prayed. He prayed for others more than he prayed for himself. He prayed for others more than he prayed for himself. The example is in John chapter 17. John chapter 17 contains his final intercessory prayer. Our master also prayed when faced with temptation and death. He died praying. We cannot do more than him. We will rather follow his examples. I do pray that you will catch the importance of prayer, the preciousness of prayer, and pray aright so that the God whom you pray to will hear and answer your prayers. May the Lord bless you abundantly. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you that we retain our relationship through prayer. Anyway, O God, our Father, we advance in our relationship with you is through the word and through prayer. Therefore, teach us to pray aright and not to treat prayer as if it is a common thing. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen.